horns up and welcome to a new season of Headbangers Kitchen. This season is extra special, and that's because you guys, the fans of the show, made it possible by contributing for our crowdfunding effort on Wishberry. So big thanks to all of you guys out there. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be interviewing none other than D5, and we're going to be cooking up a God's Pie for them. Now, a God's Pie is my take on the UK classic pork pie, which I found a little bit bland, but I've added my own twist to it, and trust me, it's fit for a god. So in India, we have a tradition that when we do something new and when it's an auspicious occasion, we break a coconut. So today on Headbangers Kitchen, we're not going to break a coconut. Instead, we're going to fry some bacon. Let's fry that bacon now. So now that we've fried our bacon, let's start making our pie. We're going to start first by removing all the excess oil from the pan. As you can see, that's a lot of oil there. We don't need all this fat. So once we've removed all the excess bacon fat, we're going to throw in some mushrooms into our pan. And even after draining all the fat, as you can see, there's enough residual grease in there to cook the mushrooms. We're just going to lightly season it with some salt and some pepper. The mushrooms are now going to release their water and cook it on a high flame till all the water is evaporated. Now you can see that the mushrooms have given off a lot of water. And we want to cook it off till all this water is gone. Now the reason that we don't put the mushrooms in uncooked is because it will release a lot of water and you will have a very soggy pie. Now you can see that most of the water has evaporated, and now we're going to add our onions into this mix. Now we don't want to cook the onions, we just want to kind of sweat them out so that you don't have a very sharp taste when you have it in the pork pie. You want to reduce the heat a little bit at this point and maybe throw in just a little bit of that bacon fat. And remember, you don't want to get any color on your onions. You just want them to turn translucent. I'm using about 3 cloves of garlic, diced very finely. You can mince it as well or even use garlic paste. Now, if you look carefully, the onions are just starting to turn translucent. The garlic as well is kind of being cooked. And we're going to throw in a nice, generous helping of thyme to flavor it. And we don't want to cook this too much. I think it's about done. We're going to turn the gas off at this point. And just mix this all in together and let it cool now. Now that the onion and the garlic has kind of been sweated off, we've thrown in a bit of thyme to give it a bit of flavoring, and we're just going to let this mixture cool. Now the traditional UK pork pie is basically, I think, pork shoulder minced up, and there's a lot of pork jelly in it, but my pie is kind of different. So I'm going to be stuffing the pie with pork mince, some crispy fried bacon, some olives, jalapenos, some seasoning, and I'm just going to make it delicious. So the God's Pie is going to be a delicious buttery short crust pastry stuffed with all our delicious pork. And I'm going to show you how to make the short crust pastry. I have done this before in a food processor, and you can see that in the Modern Makish episode. Today, however, I'm going to show you a slightly different method. So I've got 200 grams of all-purpose flour, and I've put a pinch of salt into this. I'm going to grate exactly 100 grams of butter. Now the most important thing to remember is that this needs to be cold. So keep it in the freezer for a while. And just use a nice big grater and grate this over. And remember, the ratio of flour to butter for this recipe is 1:2. So if you're going to use 400 grams of flour, use 200 grams of butter, and so on. Also, with this amount of butter and flour, we're going to be able to make 2 whole pies. This pie that I'm making today is kind of inspired by Michael Roux, the French chef. And you could say this is my version of his version of the classic English pork pie. And just get all that butter through. So now that the butter is grated in, I'm just going to take a butter knife and just mix it around. And you need to do all this quite quickly because you don't want the butter to melt. So it's essential that everything is cold. Just whisk all that in. So add about 50 mils of water to this. It's kind of by feel, you know, add a little at a time. And just keep mixing. So if you put 100 grams of butter, you'd want to put about 45 to 50 mils of water. If the butter is 200 grams, you want to put about 90 mils of water. Just put it in slowly and let this come together. Now at this point, I'm just going to kind of bring it together by hand, you know. And you don't want to work this pastry too much. Just bring it all together. So now that the pastry dough is done, we're just going to put it in some cling film and keep it in the fridge for about half an hour. So now it's time to make the stuffing for our pork pie. And I've got about 250 grams of pork mince, which I'm going to season generously with salt. Some freshly ground black pepper. A little bit of cayenne pepper to give it that slightly spicy flavor. Some sweet paprika powder. A good helping of five spice or allspice. Some chopped olives and jalapenos. And remember, you can alter these seasonings any way you like. Our mushroom, onion, garlic and thyme mixture, which has cooled by now. Some crispy fried bacon. Now you can put raw bacon in as well. However, I much prefer having crispy bacon in it. And lastly, an egg white. The egg white is there to kind of bind the meat together. And I'm saving the yolk to egg wash the pastry when we bake it. And now mix everything together nicely. You want to distribute those spices, the onions, the garlic all very well into the pork mince. And you're going to get a delicious and tasty pork pie. So our stuffing is now ready and it's time to roll out our pastry to make a God's pie. So our pastry dough has been in the fridge for a good 30 minutes and now it's time to roll it out. So you're going to want to lightly flour your work surface as well as the pastry. Not too much though, and of course your rolling pin. Just and make sure you roll it out. So just shape it into a nice disc and roll it out. So this is about the size we want, so I'm just going to cut around it. And just roll this back up, the excess pastry, and put it away in the fridge for another 5 to 10 minutes. Just take your pastry crust and put it in your bowl. Now we're going to fill this with our pork. Get a good amount of filling in there. And then what we'll do is roll out the rest of our pastry. You want to roll it out nice and thin. As you can see, that's about enough to cover this. So what you want to do is cut off the excess pastry. And then just crimp the edges together. Now comes the tricky part. Just turn your bowl over. So just fold those in. Crimp those edges together. Now you would normally put this on some baking paper in your oven. I unfortunately don't have any baking paper at home, so I'm using a pie dish. A different kind of pie dish though. Just make sure you grease it. And before this goes in the oven, make sure you poke a hole on top so that the steam can come out. Now what I'm going to do is a little decoration, and I failed in art class, so please excuse the clumsiness. Just draw some cool lines to give it a nice look. And the final step before this goes in the oven is to take that egg yolk that we had and lightly brush your pastry with the egg wash. And there you have it. Your pie is ready to go into an oven at about 200 degrees Celsius for about 20 minutes. Lesser if you're using chicken or any other meat. So let's go put this in the oven. So while our pie is in the oven, I'm going to prepare a nice fresh salad to go with it. So I've got some lovely rocket or arugula lettuce, which I'm going to use. I'm going to chop one apple to go with that. And just make thin slices of the apple. Don't waste food. I'm going to put the apple in. Just break that up. And I've got some toasted walnuts, which I'm going to add. Now I'm going to make a very quick salad dressing to go with that. It's really very simple. I'm going to just use some extra virgin olive oil. A good glug of that. About a cap full of apple cider vinegar. And a spoon of honey. So it's a very nice sweet salad dressing and very, very, very simple. And just whisk all of that together. And you'll get a nice thick dressing. You can see the thickness. So now that your dressing is ready, just pour it over. And then just mix it all together. And we're going to throw in some fresh feta just over that when we serve. And there you have it, a very simple, delicious and beautiful salad to go with that pork pie. A perfect accompaniment that cuts through the richness of the pork. This will be awesome. So here it is. After 20 minutes in the oven, our pork pie is golden brown and crispy, served with our delicious salad. It truly is a God's pie! And I can't wait for D-Void to come and taste this. Welcome back to Headbangers Kitchen. Our guests today believe that God is a lie, drink copious amounts of beer, and play some devastating thrash metal. Joining me today are Arun Iyer and Abhishek Kamdar from D-Void. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good, man.
All good with you?
Yeah.
So, let's get straight to business. You guys played Wacken Open Air last year. The coveted metal festival that most bands can only dream of. Tell me a little bit about the experience.
One of a kind. I mean, bands need to do that. Any band that thinks that they can, or want to learn a lot about being a band should, go and fucking play that show. Because that'll put you into, a world perspective. It'll, shape things into something that can help you grow as a band. So other than the fact that it was unbelievably awesome and unique and the only of its kind. So Not only the show, we are talking about the entire experience of being in walk-in, like,
you know, tenting and, you know, portable toilets and carrying your shit around. It's raining, it's mucky. A lot of things. For us, at least, it was a first time thing. Luckily, Zimya was there to intimate us that, you know, prepare for these things.
Yeah.
So we kind of got away with it. Yeah. We didn't know what we were expecting. We were finished, man. So yeah. It was a really intense experience that, I mean,
and I saw a lot of tits. Fucked on a tits. I loved it. You can't walk in like a street without seeing two tits flashed at you. And at any point you can like scream something in German which like vaguely represents walk-in. Or if you even say walk-in like loudly in any place, you get like a response from anyone who, and people who generally don't know you. And you're a brown guy.
You have no idea who they are. Like if you go into the general camping area, there's tents till the horizon. Yeah. So you just shout walk-in and
everyone's gonna
for
back
like 20
you up
minutes you'll just hear,
feel like you're in, like in 300 the movie.
Yeah, it's like yeah. It's insane, man.
Nice. Spinning. Yeah. And how was the response to your set over there?
I mean, fantastic. It was really good. It was a short set, so I mean,
yeah. We like, fortunately for us, we played at the right time. It was like 9:30. So everyone had like gathered into that. Yeah, it was a night time show, so the lights were awesome and people were packed right to the end. Yeah. And yeah, it was
pretty
fantastic.
Much the slot that we played. Like the competition is the only thing happening on the day. So whoever's come to walk-in the night before the festival starts, they all go to the big tent for the
show.
Metal battle.
Yeah, for the metal battle. A lot of people turned up. It was a good point.
I would say like 12,000 inside a tent, which is another experience that like we didn't expect. It's a tent like the size of your entire compound.
Right.
So big. Six floors higher.
Six floors higher.
Yeah. It's huge, man.
And you had a bit of trouble actually on stage with your equipment. I mean, so what was that moment like? Were you like...
It was scary, man. The problem was I could have used my cable that I had bought from India, and like we usually think that things made in India don't work, but they do. Because I ended up using their cable, thinking that, I might as well use their
German
cable and be safe. German
engineering
and all, that's what failed. And the cable went off, and that was the scariest moment, man. I was facing almost like, 10,000 people, and everyone had like, were eager to see what's going to happen next. And and my jack, my cable like gives away, and I'm in the middle of the intro of a song. And it was a little scary. Honestly, it was intimidating, man.
Yeah.
And did you guys go there with the intent of winning the competition? How did you feel that you didn't win it? You know, was it?
Yeah, we no expectation actually. We were sure we were stacked against like huge players of the scene and the ones who've like, and the band that actually did win the metal battle of that year. They had already planned out a tour that was almost stretching across Canada, and they'd been doing this for a while. So that kind of gave us perspective and that we don't do any of these things. I mean, it's not as hard as it is for all these bands that like compete and like perform there. So not only are they like confident of delivering it, they know how that situation works. And we were so new to it that we weren't even expecting to like play it, let alone like win it. So we didn't win it, but it was good fun. Like, it was,
And what do you have to say about all the beer in Germany?
Oh, man.
Oh, buddy. That's the shit, isn't it? Like, because the minute we got into the German flight, the Lufthansa flight that took us to Germany, the pilot had already announced that there was a band in the aircraft. And we were like, is he like talking to us? And they knew that we were going to play in walk-in. And it's a big thing, apparently.
All the air hostesses knew. Basically, Royden and I, we sat... When we drank the whole flight to Germany.
Yeah.
We just
that's
like,
when I first
by the
started
realized,
drinking the beer.
By the time we realized we reached Germany, it was just like, it's morning, we're going through immigration.
And we are slightly wasted.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, beer drinking happened. We had to like walk 45 minutes from where we were camped. And we had to walk 45 minutes to and fro.
Supermarket.
To this nearest supermarket where like was flooded with tits and black t-shirts. All in the mix of all of those things is a fuck ton of beer, and I think Kryptos's drummer had tagged along with us, and we drank on the way and coming back, and then the 4 days.
Road,
yeah. Anyways,
actually, the best beer would have been after walking.
Yeah,
we went to Berlin and we went to a bunch of
Berlin. I think we found our like sort of beer. But it was great. Beer was. Like pretty much the main tagline of the walk-in experience.
Yeah. Nice. And
Jägermeister.
And Jägerbombs. Yes.
So on that note, do you have any drunk stories from Wakhan that are that you can share with us?
The worst part about being drunk is that you don't remember shit. They're exceptional stories.
I remember a funny one, dude.
Okay.
The first night when Salman got really drunk and he was walking back. So it's a sea of tents, right? The way you keep up a tent is you tie those tiny ropes and peg it into the ground. Salman at 4 a.m. in darkness gives zero fucks. He has unpegged 6 tents on the way to us to ask for more alcohol.
Yeah.
When he got to us, I took a sip of beer. He said something funny. And I started laughing. I spat the whole thing on his face, man.
That was epic, dude. And this guy is just walking drunk and he's like wanting more beer. And he steps up to this guy. And then this guy laughs and like the beer. The next thing is beer in his face. And he's like fully drenched with his shitty, like half swallowed beer. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Other than that, I remember Salman also singing in the middle of the night and trying to wake everyone up.
Oh, yeah, with, singing Bollywood songs.
No,
oh,
some
dude, old ass Bollywood
songs. Remember
song,
when they came with the camera and we sang some Hindi songs?
Yeah, oh, God. So speaking of drunk experience, this was the best because this is the walk-in 3D camera crew that's walking around with their fucking lugging around with their huge ass camera with like 6 people like balancing the guy who's holding the camera, and they had come to shoot the walk-in experience and they came to the Indian tent. And we pretty much lived up the name of being Indian because we put the flag up and we were all sitting on the fucking floor
and
with alcohol. And there was just one Swedish guy with us and everyone else like at the top of our fucking volume singing songs that we didn't think that we knew the lyrics, but we actually knew the lyrics.
Yeah.
So we were rediscovering our Bollywood roots in the 10 days we were not in India.
that sounds like quite an experience.
Yeah.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about your music. You guys last year put out your EP called The Invasion. I believe there's a story to the EP. Could you share that story with us?
I think I'm going to let him do that because I'm
bored of it.
I've done it so many times that I'm thinking I'm not like saying the correct thing anymore. The concept keeps changing. But I'm going to let him.
Who wrote the concept of the EP?
I wrote it, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, the weird part of this concept is that, and this hasn't been mentioned anywhere else, it's just yesterday I remembered it, that this first came to me as a dream. And I got up and it was like a super vivid dream. So I got up to that and I thought, okay, that was like almost like a movie and it played out so brilliantly in my dream that I thought of like, okay, so let's pen this down and see if we can like link songs together. It was an attempt, not the best attempt, but it was an attempt at writing like a story vibe.
And what is this story that you speak of?
It's the invasion. It's the alien invasion onto the Earth, and that it's cyclic, and that this invasion isn't the first of its kind, and won't be the first of its kind, I mean, or the last of its kind. It's a cyclic process where, and then like in another level, it's you can put it in your own life. It doesn't have to be the entire of Earth that has to be invaded. Like there are other forces that invade your.
So you find
harmony.
Metaphorical.
Yeah, window. Metaphorical. We try to go deep in this shit, but... yeah.
Nice, that's really interesting. I had no clue about that. Even musically, your sound on this EP changed a lot. You guys shifted to, I would say, a more modern thrash sound. And you did get fantastic reviews. You know, a lot of the websites and metal magazines were very impressed with the output on the EP, but... there was a large section of your older fan base or the old school thrash metalers who kind of did not like this approach. And was it a conscious decision on your part to kind of go for a more modern sound and switch to 7 strings, or you know, how was the process?
I wouldn't say it was a conscious effort. I mean, I wasn't a part of the earlier album, right? So there was a lineup change between the first album and the EP. So that also includes Sanju. So we just kind of wrote together and we sort of released what we like, man. We didn't really think about it.
Yeah, and back then we didn't have like a 7 stringer scene. We still had the 6 stringers.
Yeah, it was
the
same tuning.
It was the same tuning.
As
but,
God's Lie.
But I had like, if you notice in A God's Lie itself, A God's Lie was a lot different from the rest of the songs.
Yeah.
I mean, and they were written over a period of 5 years. To expect an artist to just keep like, and we are trying to still find our sound, and I don't think we have still done that, and maybe the next release might just get us closer to it, but I wouldn't say like we are there as of yet.
Yeah.
So for that 5 years that we took to write A God's Lie, to expect that to happen again and always happen like that Well, it's, I mean, we are sorry to say, but that's like, that's, come on, no one wants to do that. No one wants to make the same movie again and again, right? So you want to try different things. Yeah. But you're right when you say that we did alienate a bunch of our old school fans that were huge fans of the first album, the ones that actually got us to a position where we are what we are, or enjoying what we are doing. But all I expect for them is to just like hold their, calm their tits and just like give it a little while, so that, and they will see a pattern developing in which is like a balance between both worlds. So like, we don't intend to alienate anybody, but no, just for not alienating anybody, if we do something just to make sure that we are not alienating anybody, it's like playing party host. We are not party host. We are trying to make music.
Of course, no, every artist obviously follows his own artistic vision. But do you feel any pressure, and especially being a band from Mumbai, you know, given that the Mumbai audience especially is very responsive to that sort of groovy, modern, and you will see the success from our peers, you know, you will see a Zignima, Providence, Bayanak Mod, Scribe, you know, and it's especially difficult being a band where you have a guitar and a vocalist. So do you ever...
You're the only other guy who can like... Feel me, bro.
Yeah, so I mean, does this play any part in the way you write music? You know, when you see them open up these walls of death and right. huge pits and...
It's intimidating for sure, because when you see a Zignima or a fucking Providence like rip up the stage the way they do it, you feel a little like inadequate if you're not putting up the same kind of show. But then I've understood that there are like ways to go about it. You don't have to do exactly the same thing, because then I'd have to force myself to remove the guitar and just be this only vocalist kind of... thing, which I don't want to do, because I want to have like a definitive, I want to put my own sound in the music more than just like be a clown on stage, you know what I'm saying? So, but being a clown on stage is very important, so we are all trying to do our level best to make sure our stage activity is, if not at par with them, at least energetic enough to like at least fall, like look good on stage. We try our level best. It is intimidating though. I mean, if that and groove is what Bombay loves. I mean, they want a groove. It's a dance thing, I think, which is cool. And every sort of music has a groove, but only thing is India or Bombay has only been accustomed to certain kind of groove. Now the new groove is the technical djent groove, which is the new sort of groove. But there are lots of grooves, meaning even a straight like 32 fucking beats, blast beats can also have a groove if you like carefully listen to it.
Yeah.
It has a groove, and there are people who get to like headbang to that, but not a lot of people in Bombay do that. But I think that the tide is shifting, and we're gonna still stick to our guns. We're gonna find our groove in the manner that we like, and hopefully people should follow suit.
So I'll ask you something that you've probably been asked like a million times before. What's the story behind the name Devoid? Or is there one even?
There is one actually.
No.
It's an ancient story, because this is dating back almost 8 years or something, when on a phone call we just decided. It was supposed to be Void in the start, and someone said it was too, like, I remember back in the day, our bass guitarist was Ninad Kaule. This guy from Human Abstract was now left the scene, I think he's doing independent bass vibes. And he was playing bass with us, and I was on the call. And I told him Void, he said, can we make it a little bigger? And I said, Devoid, and he said, okay. And we stuck with it. So that's the story.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. So you guys have come a long way. I think you were formed in about 2005.
Yeah.
So you're nearing in on 9 years.
Closing
in on a decade in another year.
Yeah.
How has the journey been? I mean, how hard has it been to keep the ball rolling, you know?
As a band, in 2 years' time, we came to know that there's no future to this. Meaning you do this on your own expense, and this is an expensive hobby to have, and not a lot of people who are appreciative of this like almost malignant sounding hobby that you have. So we pretty much saw the dead end right at the start, but that's why it's hard. I think that's why it's hard for anyone who's crossed the 10-year mark, is that it's not that you don't see the dead end. It's pretty clear. It's on an everyday basis that you have to live up to this, or get used to this fact. But just living with that, I think, is the hardest part. And then putting your everything and then not being able to like show monetarily that you've made any sort of progress.
So let's talk a little bit about food now, you know. I mean, this is a food show after all.
Yeah.
So what is your like favorite kind of food to eat?
Ooh.
Veg.
I'm mostly a veg person because I come from an IR background, which is like Brahminical society, like core value system. But like my folks are pretty cool. They let me ride a god's lie. So, and I wear this t-shirt where it's like obscenities are all over the t-shirt, and they're cool about all of that. But my taste buds haven't been developed in that fashion. You know, I can't like it. It's a little difficult for me to get into all sorts of meat, but my favorite kind of food would be hot dog. It's as simple as that. I love hot dogs.
Me too.
I love hot dogs too. We share that. There was this place called Yummy Dogs, you remember, where they made chicken hot dogs. Not the best, but I mean.
But that's your favorite food.
I mean, it was a lot of fun when it was there. And in Germany, though.
When you played the food, what was fun about it?
I mean, now you don't get good hot dogs anyway.
But you're also, if I'm not mistaken, you're Gujarati.
Yes,
so
I'm a Jain.
Oh, so are you also a veg household?
My parents don't know I'm here. Like, if they see this, I'll be like thrown out. Yeah. Eating one.
So we'll ensure that it's not shown to your parents. So
basically, I was vegetarian till I was about 16. And then I went to London. And I hadn't eaten in 24 hours. It was like 2 a.m. and there was no food. So I said, fuck it, it's over.
So how did you get into eating meat? I mean, what?
The company I keep, I guess. Because the company I keep usually is... their hyenas. Hyenas come like fucking vultures. I mean, they eat anything that fucking moves. Earthworms, Sanju and all. Like, it's a little hard like to be around him and not eat non-veg. I got into non-veg, I think, after my... during college, I think. It's way later that I got into... the non-veg scene, and that too, like chicken, pork, bacon type vibes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. I think a little bit of conversion ratio happened with the
bacon bomb.
Bacon bomb. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
so enjoy what
you have to answer to my God when I go back and say, why do you not do this veg thing? That the fucking speaking style, man.
Nice. So speaking of God, you know your first album was called A God's Lie. What is your religious belief, if I had to ask?
I mean, if it's not clear as of yet, I'm atheist. I'm an atheist. I don't believe that there is a God. I mean, but like the definition of God, like that would require, wait, the two quarters of old monk, then we have like one long conversation about what could be God, because a process could be God, a system could be God.
Correct.
So if you're saying that is God, then yeah, then there is a God. Like the blood will circulate around your body, and if that system is called God, then yeah, fuck yeah, then that's your whatever.
Okay, so going a little more of this zone.
Yes.
You know, you guys are very open about your love for beer and alcohol,
yeah.
And in fact, even your band interests kind of say smoke, drink, metal, drink. Do you ever worry that what kind of a message are you sending to younger metalheads? Maybe sort of giving them an impression that it's kind of cool to be drunk and wasted all the time, or to smoke, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
given
that
we have
a young audience, do you
feel responsible?
Does it ever come to your mind? You know,
the thing is, I actually do feel that drinking is cool. So if that's the message you're getting, it's cool, because that's the message I was trying to put. Drink and be cool. I don't think we are trying to like make them want to do this,
exactly.
But this is what we are doing. So that's the truth. I mean, we actually do smoke and drink, and we love doing that. And we love playing metal because it directly correlates to the kind of music that we listen to.
So what's next on the road for Devoid? What are the immediate plans, or the, you know, long-term future plans?
Long-term future is a full length, and immediate is songwriting. So I mean, yeah.
Great, so on that note, are you ready to taste a God's pie?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, just
does
to
it
give
taste,
you a heads up,
yeah.
It's delicious buttery pastry filled with pork mince, stuffed bacon, some jalapenos, some olives, mushrooms, onions.
That's nice.
You guys
and a whole bunch of Jesus lies inside it, which will add to the, I don't know.
God's pie, man.
Alright.
Alright, so let's go get a God's Pie and have D-Boy taste that.
Alright guys, here it is, a God's Pie. Please dig in.
Come on.
Give it a
move. You can feel free to just bite into it also.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oof, the smells.
I don't know why I
give it.
There you go, buddy. Come to my mouth.
Oh, I'm gonna wait.
Thought. You need tears in my eyes?
I can see you welling up a little bit. Yoshiri's actually crying.
That's beautiful, man. It is beautiful. You should actually have named it God's Pie that brings tears to your eye.
Well, you know, pie to pie.
Epic, man. This is the first time I'm eating something like this. And I'm going to do this more often. I'm going to go and hunt for places that have meat pies.
Nice. So is it worthy of being called a God's Pie?
Mm. Yeah, it totally is. This is, in fact,
It is heavenly.
You know, I mean, there's this intermediate section of God's life where it goes slow. That's what I'm feeling right now while I eat it. That's the riff that's going in my head.
Nice.
I hope that's the riff that goes in everyone's head when they eat it.
Yes.
For all the unhealthy habits that you as fans of D-Void have, I would recommend you following whatever goes down in this show and at least keep a healthy diet. That's the least we can do is. And as the song, beer song, I mean, the ending lyrics for beer song is that you only live once, so you better live it up. And there's no better way than good food and lots of beer. So cheers. Have fun watching this series. And you will see us in the next show whenever that happens closest to you.
Cheers.
So there you have it. The pie is indeed fit for a god, and D-Void has given it their seal of approval. We'll see you on the next episode of Headbangers Kitchen.
Can you believe that there's extra rock and roll, extra metal, is kind of...
Drugs, rock and roll, maybe. Drugs, rock and metal.
Yeah.
Drugs, alcohol, metal. Sex doesn't come in the
picture.
Bare metal, man.
Hey, yeah.
Angela goes so... Fucked off. Now she was the only person I thought, oh, she will bring in the female fans, but no, she's also not, no more. Who? What? Angela goes off.
Angela!
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 Angela! Sorry.
Yeah, Angela left.